So to begin with, I'd just like to share something that although there seem to be many lines in this training, right? In the morning, we talked about how we can contact the Lord on a daily basis. And then we talked about the matter of the cycle of life. And now we come to the gospel. You might consider them as many different lines, but I would say actually they're one of the same line. And this line is the line of God's economy, right? And as we will see, even in this particular session, that apart from contacting the Lord every morning, apart from having these real life experiences, there is no way that we can be people that really preach the genuine gospel, right? In order to preach the gospel, we need to come to the Lord every morning. Didn't you enjoy that? Morning by morning, right? Day by day, we need to be renewed. And then we can come to the Lord to enjoy Him as life. And there is an issue of this life. I'd like to read you a verse. This is Luke chapter 12, verse 49. It says, this is the Lord Jesus speaking. He said, I have come to cast fire on the earth. Wow, praise the Lord. And how I wish that it were already kindled. And if you read the footnote, you realize this fire is the impulse of the divine life. Right? In the last session, we saw that we have the divine eternal life. But you know what? This life has an impulse. This impulse is that the Lord wants to cast fire on the earth. And I would say the Lord wants to cast fire on all the college campuses. He wants this life not just to be within Himself, but He wants to spread this life. And He wants this life to get into so many others, right? So now we come to this session. How about let's read the title together. They're starting with preaching the gospel. Let's read this together. Amen. Picking up the burden to preach the gospel. I think in this session, our focus is really on this word, burden. Picking up the burden. Because apart from this, you can say you can try to do some outward things. And in our experience, it tells us it just does not work without this burden. Okay. Another thing I want to say is with this particular session, it won't be just Larry and I speaking. Actually, there will be students who will be sharing their testimonies as well. Actually, we're speaking together to share our experiences. We're all learning from one another, right? How about let's read Roman numeral 1 together. Amen. Preaching the gospel is the greatest commission. I think in the world, many times, many people feel like, I have a mission to do this, or I have a mission to do that, or I'm commissioned to do this, I'm commissioned to do that. But what is the greatest commission in the Bible? It is to preach the gospel. Right? Matthew 28:19, I think that's a verse that we're very familiar with. It says, go. Right? What's the first two letters in the word gospel? Go. Right? We have to go. On the one hand, we need to come to the Lord, but on the other hand, we should be those who go. This is our commission, right? Go. Go and disciple all the nations, right? And that is our commission. And you realize this is a commission actually in all the Gospels, if you read. Matthew says, go therefore, right? In John chapter 15, verse 16, it says, go forth. Go forth and bear fruit, right? And then in Mark, it says, go into all the world. So you could say a Christian life is not just a life of coming to the Lord, but it's a matter of going. Going. And for our case, we are on the college campuses. You know, especially for those who are going to college beginning in August or September, you should have a realization that you are going there. But you are not just going there for your education, but you are going there to fulfill this greatest commission that the Lord has given us in the Gospels, right? And I will read you one more verse, actually. This is Acts 1:8. This is after the Lord had died and resurrected, right? This is what He said. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So you see that this is the Lord's commission. Well, sometimes we like to jump over if you really have a heart and burden for the Lord, sometimes we like to jump over Jerusalem and Judea, and even Samaria. We'll just say, Lord, I want to go to the uttermost part of the earth. But we have to realize, actually, no, it begins in Jerusalem. And then it goes to Judea, and then Samaria, and ultimately, it's the uttermost part of the world. Right? How does this apply to us? Well, you could say there are many that the Lord has already placed around you. And this is your Jerusalem. Sometimes when we think about the gospel, we always think about that person across the Pacific Ocean. And that's the person I want to reach out to. But actually, you know what? The Lord has given you a Jerusalem. We need to take care of our Jerusalem first, right? All of us have friends, right? All of us have classmates. And this is our Jerusalem. And eventually, you could say that expands, that circle expands from Jerusalem, eventually to Judea, to Samaria, right? And then to the uttermost part of the earth. Even personally, after I received the Lord, praise the Lord, I received the Lord when I was in college. Actually, can I just have a show of hand? If you have received the Lord, if you have come into the church life when you were in high school or college, raise your hand. Okay, a good number of us, right? So I received the Lord when I was in college. And you know what? I didn't go just tell everybody about my experience of salvation. The ones that I began to have burden with, they're my roommates. They're my friends. These are the ones, right? That was my Jerusalem. I realized the Lord has placed them in my life. If I don't share the gospel with them, who will share the gospel with them? So they became part of this commission that the Lord has given to me. And also my family. They were not saved, right? So these, you could say, was my Jerusalem. And eventually, of course, the Lord desires that the gospel will spread even to the uttermost part of the earth. Right. How about let's read Roman numeral 2 together. Every believer. Amen. How about let's read A as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Whenever a believer draws near to the Lord, I really hope that this week, there will be many opportunities of drawing near to the Lord. Every morning, draw near to the Lord. Right? Every afternoon, draw near to the Lord. Every evening, draw near to the Lord. But when we draw near to the Lord, what is the sense that the Lord gives us? Surely, He makes us those who enjoy Him. He fills us, we begin to love Him. But eventually, we realize that we begin to have a sense that what? That we owe people the gospel. Have you ever had this experience before? How many of you have student loans? Okay. You know, that means you're in debt, right? If you have a loan, you're in debt, right? A lot of the times, when you even before you graduate, you start to think about how do I pay off this loan, right? I need to find a job. I need to do this. I need to do that, right? If we have a debt, in a sense, within us, there's something constantly bothering us, right? But do you have the sense, when you don't preach the gospel, that you have a debt, right? And this is Paul's experience. He realized he had a debt. Right? Every time we share the gospel with someone, you're, in a sense, you could say that we're paying off this gospel debt. There's a sense of release. Wow, I share something with that person. I'm happy. Why? Because you have paid off a part of that debt, right? I really want us to go back with this, that we need to realize that we really owe the gospel to people. When we see people around us, when you go to a college campus, you realize we're not people that are great and wonderful and we're just here above everyone else so that we can share the triune God with people. That's one aspect. On the other hand, you realize I owe this person the gospel. If I don't speak to him, who's going to speak to him? Right? We owe the Lord, and also we owe people the gospel, right? How about let's also read B. Okay. Amen. So at this point, I'd like to call Felipe up to give a testimony. Okay.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord for the gospel. I just wanted to share regarding to have a burden for the gospel. So when I was younger, particularly in high school, I didn't really see how crucial or how important this, like, just to speak forth God is. It wasn't until my last year in high school. I looked around and I saw my friends, you know. These ones that, like the brother mentioned, he puts around us, this Jerusalem. So I started to have a burden for them. I truly felt that it was the Lord's calling to speak the word to them, to preach the gospel. So eventually, as graduation started to get closer and closer, I just prayed to the Lord and I asked Him that at least one would be saved. One of these friends. I didn't have many friends, but at least one of these friends would at least receive the gospel, that they would be open. And praise the Lord, one of them did. And I just wanted to share also that when we move on to college, there's many more friends that we can have, you know, especially in the first few weeks of school. And I just feel that it all begins with our opening to the Lord. Like the brothers mentioned, I really just, we have to be those that open up to Him, that let Him know how we feel. And something wonderful happens. And I would say that it is that the Lord starts to give us His love, starts to impart His intention, His feelings, His desires. And eventually, when we just go forth and we meet these ones, we can just share this person that we have been enjoying, that we have been experiencing, and that we have been loving all our days. So I just realized I had this the other day. I had this experience in college, and my roommates were there. And then I just came from a home meeting. They're like, "Hey, man, you're never here in the room. What's going on?" And I just told them, "Well, I just go to the home. There's these things called the home meetings. You know, there's lots of food." I told them. And then they just wondered, like, what is this guy doing? You know, he's always gone. Like, when he studies, he goes to this library. But I just told them about this, and I just sowed a little seed to them. And I remember handing them, there was a picnic. And, like, even though they weren't able to attend, I saw that in them there was a desire for the Lord. And our classmates, man, they're all over the place. And one time, I was just praying to the Lord constantly, and the Lord just showed me, "All right then, Felipe, you said you're burdened for the gospel. What about that person that sits next to you across your lab, or your lab partner, you know?" So there was this lab partner, his name was Raphael, and he was an upperclassman, so he was a little bit harder to contact. But praise the Lord, there was another believer in the same class, and together we just preached the gospel to him. And eventually, it's funny because as I walked around campus, I just kept seeing this guy over and over again. And I just praise the Lord that the Lord really arranges our environments. He places us in the right college. So even though if it wasn't your first choice or if it was your last choice, truly the Lord has placed us in this Jerusalem.
Amen.
And then I just want to say that may we be those that really have a heart for the Lord, that open up to Him, and that we wouldn't be afraid of preaching the gospel. You know, sometimes there's this thought that when I was younger, that the enemy just lies to you. There's some sort of fear, and that's because we just fear losing our faith, especially when it was our friends. But if we pay that price, the Lord rewards us. The Lord truly is a great rewarder.
Amen.
And I just want to urge you, all you college students, even incoming freshmen, to just open your hearts to the Lord. Allow Him to come in and just be real with Him.
Amen.
And the Lord will do something. I don't know how He will do it with you particularly, but as long as you open with Him, you'll see that in a matter of a year or so, or even before you graduate from college, many will be saved through you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You will be having many lab partners, and that's your Jerusalem. I really hope we could grasp every opportunity, right? Amen. But we begin by coming to the Lord. How about let's read C together under Roman numeral 2. Amen. Praise the Lord. In season and out of season, right? What is the in season? Do you know what the in season is for gospel preaching on a college campus? Okay, very good. Actually, I would say it's August and September, maybe October. That's your season, right? That's the in season. But praise the Lord, that's only 3 months out of the year. There's also out of season. Wow, sometimes we feel like every season is out of season. But praise the Lord, I like this verse. Paul didn't just say, preach the gospel in season. But he said, preach the gospel in season and out of season, right? Every opportunity that we can grasp, even if it's when your car broke down and you have to take it to the mechanic, and then you have to talk to the person and you just want to get your car fixed, and that's definitely not an in season. But guess what? The Lord within is urging. You have to speak to this person about me. Wow, praise the Lord. Every season you could say we can preach the gospel. All right, let's read Roman numeral 3 together. Okay, how about A and B also? So here we'll have another testimony by Kevin.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I was asked if I would be open to share something concerning preaching the gospel. And my initial response was no, because I was scared and I'm a terrible public speaker, but I do feel the Lord has something to share with us this morning. So I would like to start by saying that in my freshman year, I was gay on campus. I was walking down the club week, or the table, and just collecting flyers, and then I see some guy, he was just sitting there like this. And he was smiling, and actually, he was shining somehow. But anyway, so I cannot remember why I walked to him, but I walked to him and I asked him, do I know you? Perhaps the actual question was, why are you smiling like that? But anyways, I began to talk with him. Maybe I know you. And he looks at me, I know you. But turns out we never met. He wrestled, I wrestled, but our tournaments and matches were never in the same, league. Different division and everything. So anyways, I asked him, what are you doing here? He tells me, I'm here with the Christian students at Mount Sac. And I go, oh, that's nice. And then I begin to go to the Bible studies, and then he begins to shepherd me. So he begins to shepherd me, and during this time of him shepherding me, taking me to home meetings, bringing me out to lunch, I see something in him. And then we eventually go out to preach the gospel together. And during this whole time, I just want to be like him. So, and there was this time we were tabling. And then I was serving some time. So I sit down and I'm like this. Waiting for someone, you know, to come to me. But I was making that face up. Yeah, so I wanted to be like him. So like a children, when they're growing up, they see mommy and they see daddy, and they want to be like them. So anyways, so we learned, I learned to shepherd, I learned to preach the gospel to overflow. Many times, like an incoming freshman or a sophomore, they say, well, I'm still a sophomore. Maybe this preaching the gospel is for like a senior or somebody who has already know the Bible from beginning to the end. But actually, an encouraging word from Matthew 4 is the Lord, when speaking to the disciples, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Right? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. That's the Lord's prerequisite, to follow the Lord. So we are not too young. We don't have to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and be able to explain it in 5 minutes. I remember speaking from Brother Lee on his commentary on Exodus of receiving the Lord. He likened us to a hose. We have an input, right, to receive, and then there's an output. So our drinking, our enjoying of the Lord is actually proportionate to our outflow. If we do not even outflow, our drinking is actually inhibited. It's nullified. We cannot drink no more, and we lose out in enjoyment. So may we just be those who outflow.
Now I just want to highlight one point here before I hand it to Larry, is this matter of, it does not depend on what we are able to do. Okay, sometimes as a freshman or as a sophomore, like Kevin mentioned, you might have the feeling, I can't do this. I don't know the Bible. I don't know much about how to do this. Actually, it's not what we are able to do, but it's whether or not we have an intimate concern for others. If you're really concerned about someone, then you have a heart for that person, and eventually, this is what touches people, right? And we cannot have this kind of heart on our own. The only way we can have this kind of heart is, like I said in that Roman numeral, is that God has this kind of heart. If you open up your heart to God, inevitably, God as love will just fill your heart with this kind of love, right? John 3:16, a verse that we're all familiar with. God so loved the world. When you enjoy this God, guess what? You will have this kind of heart, right? And 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4, you know, our Savior God who desires all men to be saved. This is the desire within God's heart. Now, when you touch this desire, you just cannot help it, but you also have such kind of desire. And Steve says, God's love motivates us, his children, to love people without any discrimination. Right? And Dee says, we need to care for people with the loving and forgiving heart of our Father God and the shepherding and seeking spirit of our Savior Christ. May the Lord infuse this kind of heart into our being, right? So that whenever we go to people, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you're able to do, eventually this kind of heart touches people, right? So praise the Lord. How about let's read the focus together?
Hallelujah. Okay, so we've seen so far that in Roman 1, we see that preaching the gospel is God's greatest commission to us. And this gospel is not just initial salvation, but all the contents of the New Testament to bring people into God's building. We need to start from Jerusalem and go to the uttermost part of the earth. In Roman 2, we see that we have responsibility for the gospel. And on this point, I'm just really impressed. No one else can do this. You know, you might wish if, you know, God just send the angels to do this, you know, but in Acts chapter 10, when it was time to preach the gospel to Cornelius, God couldn't send an angel. Only we have this privilege and this responsibility. But in Romans 3, I think we need to be really impressed with this, that the only way to fulfill this responsibility, to allow the burden of this life within us to flow out, is just to enjoy the Lord, to contact Him, to touch His loving heart, His heart that loves the world and desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. My portion here, I'm coming to a Roman numeral 4, and what I want us to really be impressed with this. Let's read Roman 4 all together. The college years are a unique time and opportunity for the young people, especially the freshmen, to preach the gospel. All right, if you have your Bibles available, let's read John 4:35. Okay, John 4:35. Whoever has it, let's read it. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months, and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Lift up your eyes, look on the fields, they are already white for harvest. And so I want to touch this point that college is a unique time and an opportunity to preach the gospel. When it says young people here, we're talking about the college students, you guys. And I would say at this point it says especially the freshmen. Let's just go ahead and also read point A. There is no other place like the college campuses where so many open, unoccupied young people are gathered. And on this point, I just want us to be impressed that there is no other place like the college campuses. Okay, so we have 1 Timothy 2, right? God desires all men to be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. Well, where are these men located? I mean, they're located all over the earth, right? I mean, you have, I don't know the surface area of the earth, but it's pretty big. You have all these places to reach all men. You have to go to all of these places. But in His sovereignty, the Lord has arranged for another option. He has sovereignly arranged for these things called college campuses to be raised up all over the earth. And people are gathered from all over the U.S., and not only from all over the U.S., but from all over the world. As I go on campus and I meet people from cities I've never heard of. In the U.S., I meet people from countries I've never heard of. If the Lord burdened me, I wouldn't even have thought to go to these countries. But the Lord has sovereignly arranged and brought these people to my campus where I can meet them and where I can overflow something of my enjoyment of Christ to them. And on this point, we have a brother here, Joseph, who'd like to give a testimony.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I'm Joseph. I'm going to be a fourth year at UC Berkeley. And I love college. I love college because you get to meet so many people. Like, I have this list. I don't know if I can finish it. But, like, especially my freshman year, I met so many people from, like, so many different backgrounds. And let me just go through the list just by category. So I have in-state, out-of-state, international athletes, religious people, and then people from the club in our Christians on campus. So in-state, California. So I go to school in California. So, you know, you get to meet people from California, right? But what's cool about it is that I got to meet these students from near my high school, even from my rival high school. There's actually this brother named Steven. He went to my rival high school, and, like, who could have ever thought, like, meeting that person, you know, from my rival high school? And then, you know, there's also, like, from other schools nearby. And then I got to meet, like, this, you know, he's white, you know, red-haired, from Stockton, you know, and then there's this another person, you know, she's from SoCal, you know, Korean-American descent. Another, like, two people from, like, of Armenian descent. And so you get to meet a lot of people. And then for out-of-state, that's another story. You know, I've been meeting a lot of people from Seattle. I know the Seattle Saints know this. I told them about it. It's great. And then one from, actually this guy, a close friend of mine from Pennsylvania, his stepfather has some connection with Joe Biden, the VP of USA. And so anyways, it's pretty cool. I do want to talk more about the international encounters. You know, I met, like, people from, like, India, of course, from Asia, because Berkeley's pretty Asian. And then from Turkey, and one from Dubai, two from Kazakhstan. And then, a lot from, like, different
Kuwait.
Oh, yeah, Kuwait. Yeah, that's from our club. And then, actually, I met a couple from France. I don't know why. I think the Lord is calling me to go to Europe or something. And then a couple from Germany. But I have this story from about France. So I was walking this one day trying to, like, study in the library, but I forgot that during the weekend it gets closed. Or it was, like, one of the weekends, holiday weekends. And I met this guy named Marquan Luni. Anyways, like, I just met up with him. Like, he was looking for a library. And then I was just like, so you're looking for a library, right? Anyways, but I got his contact info, and I got to spend some time with him for lunch and asked him about the gospel. You know, it was really good. And then another this guy doing MBA from Columbia was doing exchange program in Berkeley High School of Business. And his name is Womang Nguyen. And anyways, it was really cool. And then this past summer, I met, like, two from Germany. I met this guy named Flo, and I just, I don't know, I was going all out. Like, I talked about the great image of Daniel and everything, you know, this whole story about the Antichrist, you know, coming of Europe. But anyways, he was just listening to me. It was just listening. It was great. And then, I got to go on. Athletes, like, I don't know if you know all, like, Nathan Adrian, gold medalist, you know, I met him. I got to shake hands with him. Didn't talk about the gospel, though, because that was after I stopped flying. And then met a lot of swimmers like Lee Jansen. And then this one summertime, I took this course, music theory. And then this QB, second string QB was there. His name is Zach Klein. And so anyways, he was Christian, though. So we got to spend some time with him for lunch. You know, he was coming from Catholic background. But he showed me, you know, he talked about how, like, he was part of this, like, the students, athletes in action, right? And anyways, yeah, it was really good, you know, getting to meet him. And then going on, let's see, religious background. You know, Berkeley, I guess, you know, there's a lot of atheists and agnostic people. So, you know, I get to meet all these different type of people too. But one occasion I get to spend a lot of time with this guy, half Japanese, half American, half Irish. He was practicing this, some sort of like Japanese Buddhism or something. And then so, but I got to meet with him, you know, talk with him a lot because we're going to this place for our volunteering. And then I got to speak a little bit of the gospel, you know, getting rid of all that idols and trying to speak to this gospel to him. And so I'm still praying. And then, yeah, lastly, sorry, lots of stuff here. For our club, you know, there's so many people in our club from, like, so many different places. Like David Liu, he's from, like, Shanghai. Kevin Chan from Kuwait. Who lived in Canada before. And then, for Stephen, I mentioned from my high school, David Miyamoto, his brother's from Hawaii. And then Patrick Forster, you know, he has this, like, beard, you know, long red beard down. He's from New York. And then this guy, Joseph, from Sweden. Jason Faust, his background is that his family, he's a pastor's kid. And so, actually, they went to Germany for missionary work. And anyways, it was really good to meet him. And then there's this another sister named Hong. Like, she was this, like, super genius sister, triple, like, quadruple major. I forget what it was. But anyways, yeah, she was this genius from China. And then, like, this brother named Noel, you know, he was playing Kurdish team. And then lastly, Connor Mangrath, he was, like, the student government president. There's so many people that I met. And just to sum it up, like, college is a place where everyone just comes from different backgrounds, different nationalities, different, like, ethnicity. And so you need to, like, the Lord will place you with some of these people, like, just randomly, like, you know, how I randomly ran into this French guy, you know. And so anyways, yeah, so just, you know, be open to the Lord so that you can speak to all these people from different backgrounds. Amen. Yeah. Good. Amen.
It's pretty good, huh? That's all on one college campus. To find all these people would take a lot of time and a lot of money just to travel around, and then you have to find them. But Joseph didn't have to find them. They found him. The Lord sovereignly arranged that they would all be gathered together onto our campus. And I believe the story for all of you is the same. People from, I was thinking about this, even just, you know, some people want to go door knocking, but there are some neighborhoods you don't want to go to. There's some neighborhoods you can't get into, but they send their kids to school, and that's where you meet them. So places you want to go, places you don't want to go, places you've heard of, places you've never heard of, they're all coming. The Lord has arranged for them to be there. How could we reach them? It would be apart from the Lord's arrangement. There may be no way, but the Lord has arranged for them all to be there. I want us to realize there is no other place like that. We need to treasure that opportunity to be on that college campus. There may be someone in your class that may never ever meet a believer again because of where they are from, but they're sitting next to you in your class, and they want to have lunch with you for some unknown reason, and you have an opportunity to flow out the God of the universe to this person. Anyway, there is no other place. Okay, let's read point B. Young people, especially college freshmen, are unoccupied. They are not settled yet and do not know the direction for their life. So it is easy for them to have a change in mind. On this point, I just want to mention that in point A, we're talking about the place, the location. They're all gathered together into one place. On this point, I want to mention this is a particular time in their life. Especially students, and I would say especially freshmen, they are looking for the meaning of their human life. They want to know, what do I want to do with my life? Why am I here? The eternity in their heart, they're touching it. And we have an opportunity to let them know that they were made to contain God, that there is an eternity in their heart made to receive God, and they were made to express God for His purpose. And many of them are actually getting out of they're purposefully going away from home to have a different experience from what they've had growing up. Some of them are purposely going away from their parents' home so they would have an opportunity to make choices for themselves. So for many of them, they are at a unique time in their lives when they may be open and interested. Well, what do you have to say? Sometimes I go on the gospel and, you know, they ask, well, what do you want to say? And then once in a while you get that, and you go into shock. Wait, I'm not used to them asking, what do I have to say? And you actually have some time just to speak something of God to them. On this one, Daniel Tai has a short testimony on this. Where's Daniel? Sorry, we're running out of time here. Okay, go ahead.
So I'm Daniel. I'm going to be a second year at UC Berkeley.
And so earlier this summer, I had an opportunity to do an internship with the full-timers at UC Berkeley. So as part of this internship, the other interns and I got to join the full-timers in tabling every weekday throughout the summer. So one of the goals of our tabling was to really contact and reach the incoming freshmen who are coming for their student orientation. And I don't know if any of you have heard about Berkeley, but Berkeley is not the friendliest place for Christians. But I can testify, praise the Lord, the freshmen are open. They're not settled yet. Their heart is still soft. So just throughout this time, the other Berkeley students, I can really testify that we have contacted many positive freshmen, those who are seeking the Lord in their college years and wishing to find a way to continue their Christian walk in college. Those who don't even wait for us to fire them, they just come to our table and say, like, wow, the first thing that I wanted to look for when I came to Berkeley was a Christian fellowship. So this is really a unique time and opportunity to contact so many incoming freshmen who haven't been hardened by college and are seeking the Lord. And I just want to echo a little bit about what Larry shared about this is a unique time, especially for freshmen, to contact these ones. I just finished my freshman year, and so this summer I realized that as a freshman, I have a unique connection with these incoming ones because they always want to ask you, you know, oh, you just finished your first year. How was it? How did you survive? What were the first classes you took? So actually, this summer, I was able to contact this incoming freshman named Matt, and he comes from a Christian background, but actually he is not a believer. So actually it's not just believers who are freshmen that are open, but actually even unbelievers are open because they're in a new place, they're in their first time in college, so they're open to receive the word. So anyway, so with Matt, I was able to, with some other brothers, to join him doing a Bible reading challenge through the book of John. And it was a really enjoyable time. We were able to even schedule a Skype appointment with him. And throughout this, during this Skype appointment, the other brother and I, we had the opportunity to preach the gospel to him using the book of John. And even though he wasn't ready at that time yet to receive the Lord, he's still open. And he's actually starting to read the book of Matthew right now. And this week he's coming to a Bible study. So praise the Lord for Matt. Praise the Lord for these open freshmen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Okay, let's read point C. There is an open door for the freshmen in the church life to contact other freshmen on the campuses. On this point, I want to emphasize that there is an open door for the freshmen. And we can generalize and say students, but I'll say especially the freshmen, because these are the ones who are the most open. And I want to make the point that this door is open to you as the students, as the freshmen, particularly because these students, these freshmen especially, they want to meet their peers. They want to know what their peers are doing. They want to be involved with their peers. If their peers are pursuing the Lord, then they want to pursue the Lord. If they can find some people who are interested in the Word, they will go along. When I go out on the gospel, you know, what do you think? What would be the hardest question that I would not want to hear from a student as I'm going out cold gospel meeting people? What year in school are you? It's not, you know, predestination or free will, how to explain a triune God. It's what year in school are you? And I've had experiences. I'm out on the gospel. Sure, I've been to the training. I have some amount of truth. I can, you know, say something. I go and share something. And eventually, when that question comes, what year in school are you? I know I'm in trouble. And I've had definite experiences where I'm there and say, well, I'm not a student anymore. I graduated a little while ago. A little while ago. Broad for me, but anyway, in the grand scheme of things, it was a little while ago. I don't tell them exactly when, but even just to say that, it's like, oh, okay, and then the door is closed. And this brother doesn't—I don't know if he'll share the story later—but this full timer and this student, they were on the gospel together. And this full time brother, just very eloquent, just speaking the gospel verses, everything. And then this student just kept on asking, well, what do you think? He was basically ignoring what the full-timer was saying and just wanted to know, this student brother who was accompanying him, what do you think about this? Well, that's nice. What do you think about this? You know, what he wanted to know was, you, student, I mean, do you agree with this? Is this how you feel? Is this what you believe? And so I want to impress you all that, yes, I mean, there are many full-timers involved in the labor on the campus, maybe community saints, and that's great, you know. And we're there to help and to support, to fill in the gaps and cover you all. But really, these students on the campus, who do they want to meet? They want to meet you guys. Who do they want to hear this from? They want to hear this from you guys. And on this, I think Caleb has a good experience he'd like to share. So anyway, amen. There's an open door for the students and especially the freshmen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is Caleb Rosado. I just finished my freshman year at Long Beach City College. Praise the Lord. My last year was the best year I ever had. My favorite year is not when I was born. My favorite year was last year because Christ became real to me. So we just started our Christian club, Christians on Campus, just my freshman year, my first semester. And I just came back from a college training. And so I'm burning, you know, Manoa gave a, you know, fellowship. I'm just burning, like, I can't wait till I go to school. It's the only time I can't wait to go to school, right? It's weird. But it was just so awesome to have this burden. So when there's a burden, it's placed in your heart. Do you just leave that heart an Occidental? No, you carry it back with you. So I was just appreciating, like, oh, Lord, my campus, oh, Lord. Anyways, I met up with a brother. There's only three of us who started this club in the beginning, two students and one full-timer. And I met up with another student to pray because that was my first day on campus before school started to meet up with the counselor. So we prayed, and then he went somewhere, then I went to my counselor. And there was this girl who was in line to see the counselor, and she was the only one there, so I didn't know if I was in the right place or not. So I asked her, I was like, are you meeting with your counselor? She said, yeah, I think it's in here. And then we started talking. Very easy. And one of the three points I wanted to bring out was having a heart, being in prayer, and then just being normal. And I was just really normal with her. Like, we were just talking about our counselor. Then she asked me, what do I want to do at Long Beach City College? And then I started to speak to her, and then I said, you know, we just started this club. She's like, what? That's so awesome. Tell me more. And then we started speaking. And then I was like, Lord, where's my ammo? I got a track out. Gave her a track. And then gave her a track. And then she was just so open. I was just like, wow, this is just like the Lord testing me. Like, this is your first one. Here you go. And it was just so awesome to see how open she was. I just actually point to see. I don't have the outline with me. I think it says, they don't know where to go, right? There's an open door. The church stops contact. Okay, no, that's point. Point B, they are unoccupied. They are not settled, yet they do not know what direction of their life. She came from Beverly Hills to Long Beach City College, where it's kind of ghetto. Like, it's like, I know why the Lord put her here, right? And it's just like, it's so awesome just to see. But I really appreciated just being normal with her. And I was a freshman, but that doesn't mean that when I'm a senior, I'm going to get better at this. It's just good to practice, be normal. And, Lord Jesus, okay, and then my second, okay, so this is the reason why it's the best year, my best year, is because every single day I was praying with Jasper, my companion, and my heart was for the Lord, but I was being normal at the same time. And then, you know, we have a normal schedule, you know, we have to study, we have to take care of our education, but it's always good to be with those who are pouring out, who are going on with the Lord. And I was just really I was very encouraged to see how the Lord places people around me. So my second semester, my first day of school, or first class, there's this guy named Paul. I didn't know what grade he was in, but he sat by me. And I just said, hey, what's up, Paul? He's Paul, I'm Caleb. I mean, anyways. And then the second day, I sat in the front, and he sat by me again. We didn't even have a conversation. And I was just like, okay, now I have to conversate with this guy. So I spoke to him. And the first thing that we talked about was how the Broncos got killed by the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, right? But that was just a normal conversation. So that just opens it up. So when you're normal with him, I was a freshman. And then I was speaking to him about the club that we just started. And I actually had the morning revival. He's like, what is that? Then I started to speak with him. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because it was just so normal. But my heart was still with me for, you know, why I'm here on this campus. And then the prayer became so real to me. After that day, I was so excited. I told Jasper, I was like, hey, there's this guy. He started asking me all these questions. Then we started praying. And then now we're still friends, and we're actually going to meet up after the college training. And he's actually a junior. And anyways, he's 22 years old. I'm 19. But the point is just to be normal, to be in prayer, and to have a heart. And I'm a freshman. I'm going to be a sophomore, but I'm not going to specifically go after the freshmen. But the freshmen, they don't know where they're going. I didn't know where I was going, but I was in church last, so it was kind of easier for me. I kind of have all these role models here, right? But it's just so awesome to see where the freshmen are going, but where is your heart? And that's the number one question I have to ask myself before I started.
There was one more testimony, but I think we're going to have to cut that. Maybe you guys can share it later, okay? You guys have a chance. It's getting late. But with Caleb's testimony, I want to just emphasize here that, there's an open door for the freshmen to contact other freshmen. And when we're talking about contacting people, you actually don't have to go out to contact people because you're surrounded by people. And then you have just the opportunities, because you are a student among students, just to be normal and to speak. And just to reiterate that point that Ken shared, how fruitful we are does not depend on what we are able to do. You know, you may not know everything, but if you have a heart for God and a heart for man, then you can reach people and they can be saved. And let me just give you a help. You know, I think what scares the people... scares us the most about sharing the gospel is the question that people would ask. Now, let me give you a really good answer, okay, to every single question that you don't know the answer to. Ready? Take it down. I don't know. That's a really good question. look, maybe I can look it up and talk to you next week. And you have another time? Maybe I can bring a friend who might know the answer to that question. So, okay, you got that? It's okay to say, gee, that's a really good question. I don't know. I'll look it up, you know, and then just continue. You know, if you don't know the answer, you don't know the answer. And then bring a friend, bring a full-timer, bring another brother, look it up, get into some verses, or just not bring it up again. And if they really want to know, they'll ask you next time, you know. Some questions, honestly, are not that fruitful. Okay, I'll let you know that. Some questions are just really not that fruitful to get into. They're rabbit trails and smoke screens that people throw up to divert the attention from their need for God. So some of these questions is really okay. You know, if they really want to know, they'll ask you again. If you really forgot, you say, well, I forgot, you know. I'll look it up. Sorry about that, you know. Don't lie, but you can put these questions off. And, you know, if you don't know, just look it up, get a full-timer, get in. But you have this unique opportunity. Okay, I'm running out of time. Let's just read D and 5 together. I'll make some comments and then we'll end. Therefore, at the beginning of each school year, all the young people in college, especially the freshmen, should forget about everything else. Grab the opportunity and take care of one thing, getting the new students. We need to pick up the burden to preach the gospel, not merely to win souls, but to gain more members for the building up of the body. Just real quickly, I just want to say, grab the opportunity. For us, our season is summer. Actually, we're learning summer is the best. Summer orientations, and then maybe August, not so much September anymore. Because people get occupied very quickly. Once they get to campus, in the first 2 weeks, they may close up, they may get locked into something else. So grab the opportunity, whenever your season is. It might be summer, it might be the first 2 weeks, but grab the opportunity, because once it's gone, it's gone. And then on 5, pick up the burden. You need to pick it up. It's here presented, but it still needs to be picked up. Show strength and take action. And this matter of we're gaining members for the building up of the body. We're not just here to build up a campus ministry, a club, just give them 4 good years in school and send them off to find a church of their choice. We want to give people the vision of the age, the vision of the Bethel, the vision of God's building. Give them an opportunity to enter in for the rest of their lives. They would find Christ and they would find the church.